The sun doesn't have to look for fire to stay hot, and water doesn't have to look for moisture to be wet. It's built into the nature of the thing.
Dr. Tony Evans says these things simply are what they are, just like the Lord.
It's built into the nature of God to be who He is because He changes not.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When Moses asked God what name he should use to describe who sent him, the answer was simply, I am. But that simple answer really isn't so simple at all. Let's join Dr. Evans as he talks about the incredible significance packed into it.
God is invisible in His essence. You can't see Him. But God wanted to be seen and known and experienced on a human level. And so the Word became flesh, according to John 1:14, and dwelt among us. And the only begotten God, who's in the bosom of the Father, hath revealed Him, John 1:18, that Jesus Christ is the revelation of God in human terms. Today, I want to talk to you about another name of Jesus, probably my favorite. The context is Jesus declaring that those who believe in Him would never die. And they can't believe Jesus is talking like this, the religious leaders, and say, whose authority can you say that? I mean, they say, look at Abraham. He lived 2,000 years ago. He died. All the prophets died. Who do you think you are? You're a demon. You're right from the devil talking crazy like that. Jesus tells him, no, I ain't the crazy one. No, it's not me. I know the Father. And if I said that he's not going to die, who believes in me, he's not going to die. They say, but wait a minute. Abraham, our father, died. You're not even 50 years old. He died 2,000 years ago. On what basis can you make such a crazy statement, such a demonic statement about death, and you're not even 50 years old? And that's when Jesus gives us our name for today, and it is a doozy. Jesus looks at them and says, he says to them in verse 58, truly, truly, show enough. I say to you, before Abraham was born, so we can skip the death part. I'm going to start off at the birth. Before Abraham was born, I am. The name we're going to talk about today is the name I am. Before Abraham was born, I am. It says, when they heard him say that in verse 59, they picked up stones to kill him. Why would you kill him for such a statement? Because they knew what he was saying. If he just wanted to talk about predating Abraham, then he would have said, before Abraham was, I was. But he doesn't say, before Abraham was, I was. He says, before Abraham was, I am. That sent them into the ionosphere of anger so that they sought to kill him. Because they knew what he was saying. You see, Jesus, in identifying his name, bypasses Abraham and jumps to Moses. To understand the phrase, I am, you have to go back to Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Because they knew that that is what Jesus was referring to. So when you go back and let the Bible interpret the Bible, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, we read these words. Then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am have sent you. So the reason they were throwing rocks at Jesus when he declared his name to be I am was because they knew that he was using the term God used to define himself to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. So they knew Jesus was declaring himself to be the God who actually talked to Moses. Well, he doesn't just say, I am. He says, I am that I am. Why is he saying, I am that I am? Number one, it means that he is who he declares himself to be. That's very important. I am that I am. In other words, I define me by me. I am that I am. So why do you need to know that? Because what that means is I am not what you want me to be. What he is saying is I am self-defining. Now, having established that, there are seven I ams in the book of John. Seven times Jesus says, I am about something. John chapter 6, verse 35 is the first of the seven I ams. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. He's talking about the Old Testament in the wilderness when the bread of life came down from heaven called manna. So what Jesus is saying is, what God fed you physically in the wilderness, my job is to feed you spiritually in your day-to-day life. I am your satisfaction for eternal life, and I am your substance for living this life. So he says, I am the bread. Secondly, then Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Ooh, I love this. Jesus says, I'm the bread, I feed you, but I'm also the light, I'll illuminate you. I will be your light, but you got to be following me, because if you're going your way and I'm going another way, you're going to get lost and you will be in darkness. And one of the worst things in the world is to be blind and not know it. Because when you're blind and not know it, that means you're trying to make it on your own and you're tripping all over the place, running into everything and bumping into everybody. He says, but if you let me be the illumination of your life, then you will find the way to go. So if you're here today and you don't have direction or clarity, but you definitely want it and you want it from God, he says, you got to follow me. You got to find out what I say, what I think, and you got to do that regardless of what your peeps say, regardless of what your posse says. And here's the big one, regardless of what you think. Chapter 10, verse 7. Truly, truly, sure enough, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Shepherds had a gate, the door where the sheep could enter. And he says, if you come through me, verse 9, if anyone, somebody say anyone, because that means includes you. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. Okay, he'll go to heaven, but that's not all. He will go in and out. He'll find freedom. And he'll find pasture. I'll satisfy him. He says, if you come through me, if you stop going around me, if you stop going over me, under me, stop skipping me, if you will make your way via me, because I am the door, I am not only the door to save you for eternity, but I am the joy to give you in and outness, freedom in history, and I am the door to bring you satisfaction for your life. Now tell me, who else can give you that for free? All three. Because my name is I am. And so I am the fullness of life. That's why verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I not only came that you might have life, but you would have super life. Super life is fullness of life. Super life is more than just being here. Super life is more than I'm trying to get by. Super life is more than I'm trying to make it. Abundant life means fully realizing what God wants done in your life, but he says, you got to come through this door, because I'm the door. The next I am, he says in chapter 10, verses 11 and 14, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's the cross. 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Oh, he says, I'm the good shepherd. A shepherd, he opens the door for the sheep, but a shepherd does something else. He watches over the sheep. See, a shepherd is responsible for the sheep. This goes back to our whole theology we've been trying to teach all of us on, that God is your source. God is your source. He's got to be your source. And he says, I am the good shepherd. I know what I'm doing. Let's keep going. Chapter 11, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Lazarus has just died. Jesus let him die. And Martha goes to, watch this now, theology. Because in the previous verse she says, I know he'll rise again on resurrection day. I've been to church. I've read my theology books. I know he'll rise again because that's what I learned in theology class, Bible class. Jesus says, oh, well, you don't have all the theology. Sister girl, I am the resurrection. Okay. In other words, theology will give you information. That's called the milk of the word. The milk of the word gets you started, but it doesn't take you to growth. He says you got to move from the milk to the meat of the word. And the meat of the word is taking the milk of the word and using it in life. When the milk is utilized, it then gets to become meat, or what he calls solid food. That's why people can go to church every week, 52 Sundays a year, 52 Wednesdays a year, and see no change take place in their life, because they're banking on information. And the milk will not give you, it gets you started, but you got to graduate to meat, and milk only goes to meat when utilized. You quoted me the theology, Martha. Let me tell you what the theology is designed to show you. It's designed to show you who I am. Or as Jesus says in John chapter 5, the scriptures are speaking to drive you to me. So if your information doesn't grow to a relationship, then it is data that'll keep you in a crib.
More about the personal, relational side of the great I Am when Dr. Evans continues his message in just a moment. First, though, don't forget to request his follow-up book for our current series, The Power of Jesus' Names. To most of us, a name is just a label, but in the Bible, and especially when referring to Jesus, it's much more. How much more? You'll find out as Tony translates in-depth scripture research into clear, relevant insights into what it means to be the Lamb of God, the Great High Priest, and more. Right now, if you can help us keep Tony's teaching on this station with a generous donation, we'll send you a copy of The Power of Jesus' Names as our thank you gift. There's also an interactive study guide that'll help you share these important insights during family devotions or with your small group, plus a companion DVD loaded with custom content from Tony for each lesson, all recorded on location in Israel. Add to that all 11 CDs in his current series, Encountering Jesus' Names, and you have one of the most comprehensive resource offers we've ever made. So don't miss out. Get the details and make the arrangements instantly at tonyevans.org. Or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. 1-800-800-3222. Well, Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's message right after this.
There are songs about togetherness, standing side by side, united. We hear a lot about unity, but no one really knows what unity truly is or the power of oneness in Christ united. In his guided prayers and new devotional book, Stronger Together, Weaker Apart, Powerful Prayers to Unite Us in Love, Dr. Tony Evans shows you how unity is key to spiritual victory and how standing with others in prayer leads to a stronger and impactful life and nation. Find out more about Stronger Together, Weaker Apart at TonyEvans.org. TonyEvans.org.
Now in chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. Number one, I am the way. I know where I'm going. I know the way to eternity first, and then the way for living your life. That's what he concludes with. I am the truth. I'm not a truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the absolute standard by which reality is measured. So save yourself some time. Find out what I say and adjust your thinking to it. Because if you're a Christian, you have the mind of Christ. I am the truth. And then he says, and I am the life. You want to live? Go my way. Finally, he says in John 15, verses 1 and verse 5, these words, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, watch this now. I'm the one. Since I am the one, you need to hang out with me. Abide. Abide in me. Stay with me. Fruit exists for the benefit of somebody else. So when's the last time somebody wanted to take a bite out of your life? Because they see Jesus doing so much in you that they want to get a piece of that. They want to get a piece of that. Rotten fruit is the only fruit that eats itself. So if you all about you, only about you, it's about me, myself, and I, that's because you're a rotten Christian. He wants you to be fruity saints. Okay, you say, okay, I got it. He's the I am. What do I do with this? What do I do with this I am-ness? When God told Moses, my name is I am, it was in the midst of a contradiction. It was a burning bush. A burning bush is a contradiction. If a bush is on fire and the leaves are staying green, that don't make sense. When he saw the contradiction, he went over to the bush. When he got close to the bush, he heard God call his name. Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. The ground on which you stand is holy ground. That's when the verse comes about him hearing God tell him his name. So here it is. The best time to experience the I am-ness of Jesus is when things aren't making sense in your life. When you throw up the question, why? And you're trying to live for God. You're trying to please God. I'm not talking about somebody rebelling. I'm talking about somebody who's trying to please God. And it's all contradictory. And you can't make sense of it. You're in the perfect position to hear him call your name. That is, to reveal himself to you. And what did he reveal? He revealed to him his purpose. He says, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. He gave him a reason for living. He gave him his purpose. And let me tell you something about his purpose. His purpose was bigger than anything he could do on his own. Because this was a big deal to tell Pharaoh, let my people go and to lead the children of Israel. So what you get to hear when you go into God's presence, especially when life is not making sense, things are crisscrossing on you, even though you're trying to do the right thing. And praise God, I had one of our members come to me last week whose life was in disarray. And I know this member, and this member really loves God, wants to please God. And the more this member tried to please God, the worse things got. And things just going, she says, I don't know what God is doing, but I'm pursuing him the best I know how. So we prayed together. I said, I can't explain what God is doing with your name. All I know is from what I know from you and what your pursuit is, I know God is not forsaking you. We're just going to have to pray and we're going to have to see what God does. She came back a week later and she said, guess what God did for me? He turned this around, this around, this around. It was like five things he turned around in 1 week. In 1 week. And then she said, I know his name. I know his name. Because that's what happens in the contradictions of life when God reveals himself to you when things do not make sense. And the reason he keeps them from making sense is he wants to be the only one who can solve it so that you experience his name. Psalm chapter 9, verse 10 says that when you know God's name, you trust him. In John 18, they were getting ready to arrest Jesus, all the Roman soldiers. They come in to arrest Jesus. They come in to arrest Jesus. They're going to lock him up. And they said, "Are you this Jesus that we're looking for?" And Jesus stood there and said, "I am." And the Bible says, and when Jesus said, "I am," all the soldiers fell back and collapsed on the ground because the "I am"-ness was overwhelming. I don't know what's after you. I don't know what situation is threatening you. I don't know what difficulty is facing you. But when they run into the great "I am," oh, they got to back up. They got to back up because "I am" only gets taken when he's ready to be taken. I close with the story of the girl whose father came to him and said, "Darling, it's time for you to open up a bank account with the money we've given you for an allowance. And here's how you write a check, and I want you to start saving." She says, "Okay, Dad." So she writes out a check to deposit it in the bank. She deposits the check in the bank. She comes back a week later crying. "Daddy, it's not working." I said, "What's wrong?" The bank. What's wrong with the bank? I did what you said. I took my savings. I wrote out a check. I sent it to the bank. But the bank is run out of money. The bank is in trouble." The father said, Wait a minute. "That's the second largest bank in the nation. So it can't be going broke. What makes you think the bank is going broke?" She reached in her pocket and pulled out the check. She said, "Daddy, look, the check says insufficient funds." Okay, for y'all who didn't get that, let me help you. The check said insufficient funds. It wasn't the bank that didn't have the money. Oh, okay, it takes a while when you, okay. It wasn't the bank that didn't have the money. The girl hadn't deposited enough to cover the check she wrote. So if on the check of your life it reads insufficient joy, insufficient peace, insufficient power, insufficient happiness, insufficient order, insufficient. If the check of your life is reading insufficient funds, it's not because the bank in heaven is empty. It's because you're not depositing to God the commitment that he requires for you to see him pay the debt in full. Because last time I checked, his name is I Am. And that means I am whatever you need. I am wherever you need me to be if you will simply walk with me.
You can start your walk with Jesus today by receiving his forgiveness and committing your life to him. And it doesn't matter what you've done or how good a person you might be, it's all about what Jesus did on the cross. And despite what people sometimes say, the Bible makes it clear that there's no other way to heaven. Tony would love to tell you how that relationship can be yours. Visit TonyEvans.org today and follow the link that says Jesus. You'll find answers to your questions, a simple prayer that can change your life, and free follow-up resources. Well, if you'd like to have a copy of today's message to review on your own or pass along to a friend, just contact us for details on the title, Jesus, the Great I Am. Better yet, get this message as a part of Tony's current teaching series, Encountering Jesus Names. Right now, for a limited time, you can get all 11 messages in this powerful collection as our gift, along with the Power of Jesus Names book, study guide, and companion DVD I told you about earlier, all in appreciation for your contribution to help us keep this program coming your way. Call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222 to make the arrangements. It's open around the clock. That's 1-800-800-3222. Or visit TonyEvans.org. The Bible says that being eternal, Jesus Christ has no beginning and no end. But it also says that Jesus is the beginning and the end. Find out what that means when you join Tony tomorrow. Right now, though, he's back with a final thought to share with us.
So what I'm challenging us today in this name, the I am-ness of God, that he is the God who speaks in the Old Testament, but he is the personal God for you right now. If you've received him as your Savior and you are following him as your Lord, then you have access to the I am-ness of Jesus Christ.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.